Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Do we have the determination to confront the slow-motion moral collapse that has taken place in parts of our country these past few generations?
Abraham Lincoln said, states do not have the right to do wrong. And when we have people that say states have the right to pass gay marriage, I say, no, they do not.
My parents took us to church every week. We went to a Lutheran church, First Lutheran in Waterloo. They prayed with us at night. We prayed before we had mealtime. They really instilled wonderful values in us.
You cannot add to perfection. His perfect righteousness is imputed to you the same way your sins were imputed to him when he was on the cross.
I'm Daniel Bergquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
The term contemporary has always struck me as a very weak way of describing what has been happening in Christian worship in the United States and elsewhere for the last 35, 40 years. It's called contemporary, but that just means nowadays, and it really does not strike at the growing gap, the gap that opened in the early 60s and has been widening and widening and widening in worship practice and really the definition of what worship is for the last 35, 40 years. Now, I wonder whether a new term might help us if we understood, rather than simply a chronological understanding of what the new worship methods are, maybe let's just describe what they are in their thinking, in their theology. Mystical. Mysticism. I think that comes pretty close. In about 10 minutes, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is going to join us. We're going to talk about a pastoral evaluation of mystical worship, and I think it strikes right where it needs to in defining what we've always called contemporary worship and contemporary Christian music. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon, the 17th of August. We'll be talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, getting his evaluation of mystical worship in about 10 minutes. But in the meantime, Issues Etc. comment line, it's always open for you. And since we have been kind of in and out of the office over the last couple weeks, we have a lot of comments to respond to. Now, the number, anytime you want to use it, night, day, if you want to criticize, if you want to question, if you want to make a show suggestion, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. comment line, and you can use it anytime. Now, when you do, we often want to hear who you are, where you listen, and then say whatever you need to say. It helps to know who you are and where you listen. Kind of gives us our bearings when we respond to your many comments. So, first, let's begin with a comment about last week's series on interpreting parables with Dr. Ken Bailey.
While listening to the August 9th episode of The Parable of the Lost Sheep, a couple questions came to mind. First, why is this teaching marveled at as new? Has no one ever taught about the cultural shepherding relation to the text before? Don't get me wrong, I think the teaching by Dr. Bailey is fantastic, but surely someone over the church history has taught this way. I've always been taught to be leery of new teaching. Secondly, when Dr. Bailey said that the Pharisees were angry with Jesus because he told them he came to finish the work that they neglected to do, was he talking about the evangelism of non-Jews? Was this an additional work of Christ? Because his main work was the redemption of the world, something the Pharisees were incapable of doing. Please clarify this work that Jesus was referring to. Thanks for listening.
All right, two good questions. The first one I think I can answer pretty easily. The second one, that would probably require Dr. Bailey explaining himself on what he meant by that. Remember, this was an series of interviews that we did with Dr. Ken Bailey back in 1999. So my memory, even though we've recently worked on those, my memory on those is very, very faint indeed. But to the question of whether or not Dr. Bailey is presenting new or novel interpretations to these parables, first of all, the parables, their interpretation has always been kind of a matter of debate. It always has been in the history of the church. Many would interpret it one way. You can find other interpretations. Just because a parable has historically been interpreted one way doesn't necessarily mean that's the right interpretation. Just because, and I won't say no one has ever come up with that interpretation, I agree with you that if someone comes up with a completely novel interpretation of any passage, much less a parable, it should always bear the burden of proof. It has to bear the burden of proof. Now, I think what we showed in the course of those conversations with Dr. Bailey is that he is able very well with his, what I'll call them, supplement to kind of the traditional interpretations. He is very well able to bear the burden of proof and make the arguments in favor of his interpretations. Now, he said it's not so much new interpretation of old parables as much as it is, his analogy, I believe, was having a switch on your television that could turn it from black and white into color. There's more depth, there's a deeper understanding, and perhaps there are new insights, but nothing that would necessarily contradict old interpretations of parables. Let me just put it to you this way. The parables really take a beating in Christian preaching. I think more often than not, they are misused. They are misinterpreted. And what Dr. Bailey reminds us is, first, let's stick to the text itself, and then let's understand that text in its cultural context and just be honest about what it means, even if it doesn't necessarily lead to the Sunday school interpretation of the parable. More often than not, these parables are simply turned into moral lessons, when very often in parables, what Jesus is showing is his redemptive sacrifice, the love that the Father has for us sinners. And I think delving into the culture simply reinforces those interpretations of those parables.
This is Herman calling, but I'm just going to offer an apologetic insight into the victory of the soundbites day of Pastor Wilmore Torgerson of Wittenberg, Germany, on the women's order pastor issue. He was put over the top, essentially, because you're women callers. Why did they vote for him? I'm going to propose that they sensed in the concern he raised that they were threatened by women's ordination, because involved in that is the confusion and gender identity, which they saw being affirmed in creation and redeemed by Jesus Christ, both as a personal matter and as a, shall we say, theological matter. So they did not want to lose their order and unity in the grace of Jesus Christ and have that diminished by a movement which is based on gender eradication with the ordination of women, which when that occurs, often the eradication of gender means those women who are ordained have to become essentially men. You don't eradicate gender. You just try to transfer the different roles of it somewhere else. And these women who voted that way sensed that unease and threat to what the church has given them. So there is an affirmative apologetic from that viewpoint that I believe was behind their vote, which may be an important insight in dealing apologetically with this issue of women's ordination from another side of perspective. Thank you very much.
As we often say, smartest listeners in radio, I also noted that this was during one of our Friday soundbite of the weeks. We played a soundbite from Pastor Wilhelm Torgerson of a Lutheran church body in Germany. And they're having a bit of a debate there because of some of their ecumenical connections about the ordination of women. And we played this soundbite. It was pretty innocuous. He says, look, we've made all our arguments. It's time to settle this debate once and for all. It's no longer an open question. The Bible answers the question. And women voted for this soundbite. And I remember sitting here behind this very microphone, listening to one caller after another, emailers after another, saying that they wanted that to be the soundbite of the week. And almost all of them were women. I mentioned it to my producer after we were done. I don't think it was a coincidence. I think women are especially tuned in to the way that gender is being bent in the culture and in the church. And I think they instinctually see that it cannot lead in a good direction. You know what? Women like being women. You know that? There are men in this world who are happy to be men, and women in this world who are happy to be women. They don't want to be the opposite sex, if we can even call it the opposite sex anymore. And women's ordination is one of those places in the church where such a compromise has been made, and I think women are naturally uncomfortable with it. And I'm talking about women who are regenerate women, Christian women, are naturally uncomfortable. They know there's something just... Maybe they know there's something wrong with it, and they're happy that there's something wrong with it, because that little bit of rebellion in them says, yeah, I'm glad there's something wrong with this. Maybe they know there's something wrong with it, and they have an uneasy sense that, man, something's just not right here. Now, I will take issue with one thing that the caller had to say. I tend to agree with Leon Poddles, who wrote The Church Impotent, probably about 10 years ago, a great book from a Roman Catholic perspective on the feminization of Christianity. He said that he thinks the day is coming when our seminaries will be filled with female students and our pulpits will be filled with female pastors, oxymoronic as it is, and we will have to refer to male pastors the same way we today refer to male nurses. That this occupation, if you will, of pastor or priest will be so taken over by female occupants that it will be unusual to see a man walking around in a collar. The Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. When we come back, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and his evaluation of mystical worship.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.